reports about the Heaven's Gate cult members. A newspaper, the North County Times, down in San Diego, is reporting that a raid on two storage sheds in San Diego has uncovered an arsenal of weapons.
The paper says several assault rifles, shotguns, and other weapons were found. Authorities won't confirm or deny that report. Meanwhile, a Yuba City man apparently has killed himself in an imitation of the Heaven's Gate cult members. Authorities say the 58-year-old man was found dead yesterday in his trailer. He left a note saying he was joining the other 39 members on a spaceship.
Tonight, two former members are speaking out about a spiritual sect based up in Tehachapi. They say this sect, called the Phoenix Institute, has taken thousands of dollars from investors and not returned it as promised. Tehachapi resident Leon Fort says he loaned the Institute $120,000 and they refused to return it. His friend Ann Beam explains that the group believes in a leader on a spacecraft called Hatan.
He guarantees you a place that you won't go under if the planet were to destroy itself.
They were going to buy gold and it would be earmarked for us to decide what to be done with it. We had promissory notes that actually upon demand that they would pay whatever was asked for plus whatever the exchange price of the gold at the time would be.
Fort and Beam say they are speaking out now to warn others about the Phoenix Institute. Now, Eyewitness News today tried to contact the leaders of the Phoenix Institute, but they have not returned calls from our reporters.
As many as 10,000 people may have been exposed to hepatitis from eating tainted fruit cups at Los Angeles schools.
Heaven's Gate cult members. The investigation is wrapping up here today, and San Diego County plans to auction off items found in the mansion. And while what happened here is still hard to believe for some, extras uncovered another group that shares Heaven's Gate's mysterious beliefs in the extraterrestrial. And now, frightened former members are coming forward, saying they've been ripped off, and the group is also stockpiling weapons. Rick Schwartz reports.
High in the hills of Southern California, where green pastures meet ominous mountains, there's a small town with something to hide. A shadowy group called the Phoenix Institute for Research and Education has settled into Tehachapi.
You get the feeling that you're on top, that you have the information the rest of the world doesn't have, you're one of the chosen few.
Betty Tootin was on the inside, now she's out. She says the Phoenix Institute is a cult that's ruining her life.
I want this stuff stopped. I want other people to know what a sham this is.
She's taking on the enigmatic leaders of the Phoenix Institute, Doris and E.J. Eckert. Extra obtained these rare photographs of the couple from another former cultist. And when you hear the Eckert story, you'll understand why they're camera shy.
Doris Eckert claims she received Hatan, head of the host of God, intergalactic commission, here to help people through the earth changes. She says that she receives this through electrical impulses in her head.
You heard right. The Eckers, who live in this large compound in Tehachapi, claim there is an all-knowing, 8-foot-tall alien hovering above the earth in the mothership Bethlehem, and Doris can channel him.
The atmospherians, aliens, if you will, that would be stationed in Mount Shasta, for instance, were rotated on a basis of every 6 months in the beginning, especially because the atmosphere begins to trap you and the memories go, and you would find the alien beings that were not regularly rotated were very often lost to command.
The space theme is reminiscent of the teachings of Marshall Applewhite, who led the Heaven's Gate cult into mass suicide last week.
We are returning to life from a visitation.
He would beam up everybody into his spaceship that were
While Applewhite claimed his followers would ascend a spaceship trailing the Hale-Bopp comet, the Eckers claim there is a 2.5-mile-long crystal buried in the mountain behind their house that allows them to receive the alien Hatan's prophecies.
When the earth changes come and the earth is supposed to be so devastated, he would beam up everybody into his spaceship that were true believers and their families. So you would be saved by beaming up
Oddly, it wasn't the bizarre stories that spoiled Betty Tootin's faith. It was a financial battle with the Eckers that began in Las Vegas. Betty claims the Eckers convinced her to take advantage of Nevada's loose financial laws and open her own personal corporation. She showed us a table full of documents claiming the Eckers got her to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in the Phoenix Institute. And she claims they refused to pay her back.
This is white-collar crime, and it's done through mind control.
Our sources tell us that this mini-mall here at Tehachapi is the nerve center for the Phoenix Institute. Now, inside this unmarked building, workers produce a variety of so-called health products, and this newspaper, called Contact, in which Commander Hatan allegedly delivers his message to followers.
The paper is published weekly and sent to thousands of followers nationwide. It features counterculture articles like this one, alleging Henry Kissinger ordered the creation of the Ebola and AIDS viruses. Although the rooms in this complex appear closed and abandoned, our sources recognized several cars and assured us Institute members were inside working on the paper. No one would come out to talk to us until this man appeared.
Tell us how the Eckers made all their money.
He refused to identify himself, but our sources later confirmed he is indeed an editor of Contact.
I think your questions are impertinent and none of your business, and I don't have any comments, so bye. This is not a cult, and we're not doing anything wrong, and we don't like having our privacy invaded by people on the attack.
But former Institute members say it's Doris and E.J. Ecker who are on the attack against them.
I became very adamant and out against them publicly. I believe that there are fanatics amongst them that could take a weapon and come and kill.
This man is a former member of the Institute who asked us to conceal his identity, fearing repercussions from the Eckers. He says he has reason to believe the Eckers have stockpiled weapons either on their property or in their son-in-law's home, which is said to have a two-story underground bunker.
After I got out of the group, I became acquainted with an individual that was there, and he saw their stash of weapons, automatic weapons.
Let me know that this is Rod Entz, E-N-C-E. I will tell you a little bit more about him later.
Accumulation of weaponry. And so I believe that they could be very vicious.
Now, the FBI tells Extra that it's investigating the Phoenix Institute for Research and Education, but they cannot comment on our story. Now, a little more about what the investigation has turned up here. County officials say cult members led a very structured life. All television viewing had to be pre-approved, and their seats were all assigned. Now, my co-host Libby Weaver. Theos, with more on the mother of this bizarre cult.
Brad, members of Heaven's Gate called her T. For real?
I think that's it.
Okay. Stop. Up to that time, published some 50 of these journals.
forbidden. He had borrowed $150,000 from the Institute to assist him with his publishing. Now, he has consistently represented himself as a multimillionaire. He stated in court that his value was between $4.5 and $5 million. So he has always indicated that he was a wealthy person. But because he had some cash flow problems, and he dreamed up the Phoenix Institute as a way to have other people from outside be able to put money into the project so that to help in the publications and any other projects that we might have. We were urged early on to do some experimental farming. And we've done that. We have here leased a piece of property. I think it was in 1992. 160 acres out in Cummings Valley. And we've raised two or three crops of spelt grain. Don't expect that anybody knows what spelt is, but it's an ancient grain. High protein, excellent fiber, but it has a disadvantage, and that is that it's in a very tough hull. And to get it out of that hull, you have to have a special piece of equipment. Equipment is manufactured in Germany, and once in a while, there's a fellow in Canada makes one. We got one from him. So we could clean and actually run our spelt all the way into flour out here on the farm. And that's where Mr. Entz got into the picture. Entz represented himself to be a farmer. And he was in Montana. And he heard about the Institute's journals through George Green's travel. And over a period of time, corresponded back and forth, and finally came down here and got the farm. Well, it turned out that he was sticky-fingered. Leak. And but we didn't know that right away. And he seemed to be articulate and an active participant in the thing. And we changed the board members of the Institute changed, and he was elected president of the board of the Phoenix Institute. While he was president, he told us that his mother was making an investment loan to the Institute, and it was for $23,500. And he got a note from the Institute for that amount of money. Well, it turned out that he had got that money from another person, and the note was made payable to his corporation. And so, basically, in the long run, it wound up to be a $47 million loss, or $1,000 loss to us, because not only did we lose the incoming, but we have to pay off the person who thought she was sending her money to the Institute. And in the meantime, he was just not a nice person. And I understand that he's recently been terminated from his most recent employment because of his being... Well, there were shortages found, and they finally decided to let him go. Now, that's Mr. Entz. I don't know what you can publish about that without it being a problem, but it's important to us that we know about it. Mr. Green, because he wants to hold on to the gold, has been nibbling at every person that he thought he would talk to, try to get them to switch over to both his side in order to help him retain the gold. Still sitting in the court. That's 4 years ago. And we've been litigating madly ever since. Try to get it released.
Well, the Supreme Court has ruled.
The Supreme Court is that.
If the gold gets released from the court in Nevada, does Mr. Fort get his loan back?
No.
Why don't you explain what didn't get explained yesterday, why people would want to loan, and when they say mind control and brainwashed, they came here. Nobody asked them to come here number one. So where was the brainwashing? Was that before they came? No, it was never touted as ever being, well, I don't know what George Green said out there. It was never touted as being an investment. And any time that EJ talked to anybody about it, it was always, look, it is a time of preparation for care. If you're in Los Angeles, for instance, you know you may very well have an earthquake and heavy expenses or something. Don't put anything anywhere until you take care of yourself, and then the whole program was based, and I think you should make sure she has a copy of George Green's on his financial stationery, the program. But it wasn't like you come in and you invest in gold over and over and over and over again. It was made very clear we are not metals dealers. We could purchase, that if say you loaned $20, then $20 would purchase gold that went to the bank to be used as collateral. And then it could be borrowed against, but it always was borrowed against. It was always bank collateral. And then if...
And it did not belong to the lender.
And this I don't think Paul got it clear to you, though, from what I saw of Paul's.
Well, you almost saw 140th.
Well, I realized that. And this is like, you know, they said yesterday, oh my God, we've got to pull 2 minutes out of, you know, 5 hours. Well, we understand that, but the major point that you need to understand about the Phoenix Institute is not, other than I have given any rights to anything over to the Institute, and if they ever sold, it would be a matter of income back to the Institute. We're doing projects, and one of the projects, like I told you before, was a 200, and yes, it is still there, and we're working on it, and it's going to get done, and it's going to be right over here on Capitol Hill, and I expect now it's more like a $300 to $400 million project. And there will be with it another several $1 million television network. And it's all already, the architects have already drawn it. These are humongous sized domes, like 30 stories high. And it'll be over in Capitol Hill.
How about if, what we have told our viewers are two things. This is a group, and this is what we understand them to believe. And then as we started to do investigation, we also heard from the people on the financial transactions, which I see as separate, but somehow there are some connections. What if, EJ, you were to explain how the financial things really are, and then we'll let Doris explain the beliefs part of the thing. Does that make sense to you guys? I know what we have told our viewers, and so that's where I think we need to carry this forward.
Mm-hmm. Let's work away at this just a little longer, and it may come clear to you, if not to me, sure. It may come clear to you how to handle it better. There are two or three other points that we need to make. The financial transaction will look a little strange at this particular instant because the price of gold is down. If the price of gold was at $700 per ounce instead of $350, it would make a lot of sense to everybody who heard this story. Or if gold was having a very rapid run-up right now, it would make sense. But gold has been as high as $840 per ounce in the past. Now it's $350. There isn't any reason not to believe that it will at some point in time be worth $840. The arithmetic would indicate that if the stock market where it is, gold ought to be somewhere around $2,000, just based on people think, people value. So there was a fallback position for the Institute, and a And I must give George credit for this. I think it's a good idea. We have followed him. We can depend on him.
And he was a securities, licensed securities dealer.
Right.
And he set this up.
If gold is priced at, say, $400 an ounce now, and loans are taken against it, obviously, if gold goes to $800 an ounce, most of the money that has been borrowed against it can be paid back, and also the person who made the loan or the corporation who made the loan could get a substantial profit. Not all of it. Now, during this run out, which is anticipated to take several months, when it takes off, remember, gold doesn't do like the stock market. Gold goes
fast.
Because gold is the offset to a paper panic. Gold is the real stuff that don't do much very often, but when it does, if you want your money in gold or real estate or something, hard assets, they call it. So, during this run-up, the institute has to purchase, it has credit. Now, as the price of gold gets more, it has more credit. So it can buy more gold. And it buys more gold two or three more times, and at 800, and we've done computer studies on this to make sure that it's okay. And somewhere around $600, $650 per ounce price of gold, everybody can get their money back. If it's sold out at that point, you pay off the loans and get the money back. That's the fallback position. That's not the only position. The Institute is a funder of projects. And one of the projects are those books. If something happened, those would suddenly become in demand with something close to 200 of them. It costs quite a lot of money for just a set. and so there would be a lot of money. She has assigned her royalties back to the Institute, which will help pay off its debt. I don't know that the farm can ever make a big killing. It's not in the cards, but the Institute is funding a mortar. The Institute has funded some health products, some jewelry manufacturer, which we don't say much about. One of the things that the Institute has done. Some of those, the jewelry has already paid back its loan and could, if it wanted to, make additional contributions to the Institute to have it work as a co-op. Build a little new venture. The idea in the beginning was triple business guys deciding that we'd like to have a little more industry in Tehachapi, less bedroom. So that's how it got started. And the majority of these people here either work here at one thing or another, or they're retired and they want to be here and they volunteer their time. But I think, let's take Betty Tootin, for instance, now back to that situation. She was told in the beginning that you cannot call your notes. There is a side agreement with these notes, which she has elected not to show you.
But she received interest all along the way. So if you want proof that there were side agreements.
I heard that she was getting some payments for a period of years.
She certainly did. It was very high, and it was on a side agreement.
Had gold will double. We will have a burst in the paper financial bubble, and gold will go up in price at some point in time. Nobody knows that. And at that time, and the gold will be sold. And at that time, when the gold was sold, she would get whatever profit she deserved. And that was part of the agreement in the beginning. Those notes are not callable, even though they say promissory note. Demand, promissory note. They're not following it. And they'll go at least up.
I have 1 hour in the office. So can I get that information from you as condensed as you kind of explained it to me, and then can we hear from Tom? I don't want to cut anything.
Is that really worth it? Yeah, I'm not sure that that's worth any time on your television.
Which part?
I think what we need to say is we tried to work something out with Betty. Our best offer at that time was to try to get her $200,000 as soon as we could.
Let's explain it, because she has said something and we have the opportunity to respond back.
Yeah, she refused that. In addition, she told me that she had another $1 million in insurance. It's our understanding, we're not inconveniencing Betty. We don't know for sure. She alleges that she has no money.
No, that's you're leaving out one of the most important things. When she wanted her money, she wanted it for her son, who were going to go into the development business with George Green.
She told us that she needed it because of a family emergency.
There was no family emergency.
I think it was
she
was couched in like it was a medical emergency.
No, it was not. George had asked and had gotten very close to her sons, and they were going to get her investment, if you want to call it an investment, they always do. They wanted their money back. They wanted it. Everybody that George told to get their money back, they wanted it in gold, which was never, ever an option. They wanted it in gold, and George had said that you can then put the gold with me, and I can roll it over through Puerto Rico and Costa Rica. He owns a coffee plantation or two down there, he said. And we even know the person he was working with in Puerto Rico. And so any gold that he could gather up, he was turning into cash. Only he was doing it offshore and very illegally. So he wanted Leon and anybody who got their money back, he wanted it in gold, so he could then manipulate it. And then he began to advertise while he was in Montana before he took off for Idaho. Quite recently, he was on the air again advertising his big development skills. And people who would go to see him, he would promise them large parts of whatever development program he was in, large amounts of stock and stuff. And so at that time, he wanted to do two things. There is another person in Florida that had actually leased or rented or borrowed three corporations to handle her business. And over a period of time, she gave a lot of money to George Green personally. And that's their business, whatever. Then she loaned quite a lot of money to the Institute, at which time she would put portions of it into her corporations. I'm going to call them hers for now. They were never hers, but we'll call them hers. And at the time Betty Tootin left here, she went directly to Florida to this woman. And things really began to happen then. George Green started a mailing program, which he already had going. And every letter would be different, a different story. In fact, one judge said when he wanted another hearing and they had canceled the jury, the judge said, why would I go further with this so you can make up one more story? Now this is totally, anybody else would be wiped away, but he wanted that gold. And then his attorneys got onto this. And I'm going, please don't put this on the air because I don't want to get sued farther. But this one attorney, George Abbott, is an old political buffoon. He is the town drunk. And this Leon and Ann Beam, and that's another story in itself, went out to meet him and he became their lawyer. He has stripped them of over. I mean, the last time we heard, and this was like three suits ago, $84,000 from Leon. And we already paid on And you talk about brain dead. You know, the man stood in this room and said, yeah, he lies to us. Well, then why do you listen? Well, he seems like a nice guy. Do you read the papers? I don't understand them. This poor man has a history. He is one of the Walking Melindas, the circus family. He is wonderful. He is innocent. This man came along and through his life, he had such a mental illness that he was, I call it, incarcerated. But then my background's medical, and when I heard they had fried him with electric shock treatments, we just sat together and cried. I just said, Leon, I just can't believe this. And so I could understand Leon coming out here. He had been up to Rumska. Well, now he had met George, and this seemed like maybe the truth of God. Well, God doesn't come out here and tell you that it's all right to commit suicide, it's all right to do these other things. It's a lesson of responsibility for yourself. So he was here for a long time with his little 90-year-old mother that just, oh, she was just the sweetest thing, and just loved to anybody. Everybody just adored her. And he now says that we took money from a 90-year-old woman. We didn't even take money from him. I didn't even know he put any money into anything. And they did it through his corporation. Well, that's fine because that's a shelter and this is viable business. So time goes on and he is living in a trailer. I mean, it's a nice motel. And for a while he lived up at the campground, Indian Hills. And lo and behold, one day came through two women from Tucson, Arizona. One was named Dorothy and the other was named this Ann Bean. And they were going to camp along the way. They were going to go to the East Coast and then back. And Dorothy had read one of the journals, maybe even the first one, Secret Food, which is just a fantasy. And Dorothy wanted to stop here. So they were just going to be here a couple of days. And wouldn't you know, they parked with their little tent right next door to Leon and Esther. Well, within 2 weeks, Ann Bean, after promising her friend she would not get involved, she had no source of income, none, and even told some of the people here, well, now she had found Leon, she didn't need a job. But this woman had moved into Leon's bedroom and became his mistress, with his little 90-year-old mother just about to pass out and die from the humiliation. And time even goes on by there. And we have two other people that came through or by, or I think wanted to even loan some money from Tucson. And so, I don't know, because they were here, we had some kind of a little meeting, and then EJ was to meet with those women later. And I remember that somewhere along in the meeting, here come these two women to speak to me, and I didn't know who they were. And I knew that I had seen Anne. I didn't know who she was. I certainly didn't even know her last name. But because she rushed up there with them, I said to them, oh, you must be here with Anne. Well, no, they certainly weren't. And so, after the meeting, you know, I didn't know what was taking place because they were obviously not even going to hardly speak to her. So EJ met with them later that afternoon, and the only reason we are involved and it has his signature on these notes is he's treasurer of the damn corporation.
Well, let me have EJ then explain the financial part of this now.
Well, I want to finish this part because it's important. Leon was happy here. Betty Tootin was happy here. And then Commander wrote on somebody had asked the question about cults and groups and witchcraft and stuff like that. And Commander simply made a statement that witchcraft, regardless of what you call it, is a ritualistic thing. And it can be called occult cults. And it really is not of God because you don't need a bunch of rituals or anything else to be in connection with God. Well, suddenly I got a 15-page letter from Anne. And this did it. This did it. Well, then when EJ met with the
these two women. They said, what is she doing here? It doesn't seem likely that she would be here. Oh, well, why not? Because she belongs to a witch's coven and a full operating or active member of this witch's coven in Tucson. Now, this was presented, but hell, I don't see anything wrong if you've gone and you have looked around, you're searching, you're doing something. But that wasn't what did it. She lied. She put them down. She pulled Leon away. And pretty soon, everything was menial and they're trying to steal from you. And look, they've lied about me. Well, then, proof came. And so Leon wouldn't let his mother come around us anymore or anything. And so there you have the story.
I did talk to Anne, and she did tell me some of those things. Of course, that was her version of...
We're not going ahead yet.
Okay. Let me just put this on your phone while I'm up there.
I have a different camera.
Okay.
I'm still camera shy.
She's very good, you know.
I think we probably should not even do that. Like you read this,
okay.
Not out loud or anything like that. If you just study that and see if that's something that you can do on your program, that will all be useful.
You've never called your group a cult.
No, you didn't. You called it a sect. And
there was a graphic or a text display at the bottom said Tehachapi cult. Even though you didn't actually say it, it did say it on the screen itself.
It should not have.
It did.
Okay. We've never called your home a compound. We've never called this a nerve center. We have never shown pictures of your home, your pictures, or aired your names.
No, I noticed that.
And we've never mentioned weapons.
I didn't ever hear our name mentioned.
Because I could not contact you in person. I'm not going to use your name until I can verify the information.
They didn't mention weapons because the only one who did that was Rod and the resulting...
What we did do, Mr. Eckert, was talk to Leon and aired the information from Betty Tubu. So I want to give you the opportunity to respond to that. Just like you explained a moment ago that another person had taken the money and this is what the agreement really was. I think you deserve that opportunity and the viewers would ask that question. So what did happen?
Well, also, it should be noted that we rent that house. I mean, Judge Jason rent.
The house has never been a part of our program.
All right.
So that your personal, as far as I know, your personal home, and I could not verify that you were still involved with the group until I had talked to you, which I did not until today, or when you spoke the other day.
Is the house on your beach?
No.
No.
Never
house is not on the footage. No mention of weapons is on the footage, other than the stuff at the bottom of the screen.
No mention of your name. The
person introducing it called it a spiritual sect,
which was something. Frankly, we batted around the newsroom because we didn't know what to call you. The word group was being used a lot, so
real thing they did was that they tied in the Phoenix Institute, like with the papers. Like it was all one big thing, and then the beliefs. The thing I clarified with Carol last week was that the Institute is not engaged in the issue of belief. The paper may contain some stuff, and when the commander writes, people can believe what they want to believe,
and
but that's really not the business of the Institute.
It was my understanding that the newspaper is one of the projects of the Institute. That seemed to be the accurate connection. But if you would like to talk about the financial... clarify what is accurate, factual about the financial dealings of the Institute. I think my viewers would like to know that. And if Doris would like to explain what the beliefs are, I think my viewers would be interested in that.
Well,
those are the two elements that we've
presented. It strikes me that I don't want to even mix the two. If you wanted to come out either day after tomorrow or next week or something like that, then it is a separate thing. I don't believe that it's suitable under these circumstances to even connect the two. Hmm. These are not far out books. These are based on absolute what is taking place in the world today. And I think what you might want to realize, Carol, is that you have a whole plethora of incredible stories. I don't know these people that I have written about, but I have gotten to know quite a few of them. And I bet yes, I didn't bring it.
You mean written about as receiving from the commander?
Well, I'm talking about people like David Icke and people that have come to us basically through commander. Somebody just sent something this very day, and I guess I wouldn't want to give you this original. But, for instance, this is David Icke.
Mm-hmm.
He is coming on Sunday to spend the afternoon with us.
I saw his name in one of the newspapers.
All right.
Sunday,
here is Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. They have been here before. She is out of the MK Ultra mind control government program. These are the stories that really would put you on the map.
Would you like to talk to us about the commander then?
Not really.
Doris, they have time. First of all, they're on a time schedule. Secondly, if they had time and they can cover both, they can agree to separate. So it's as if they made two visits.
That's true.
Well, I don't mean to be insulting, especially to Carol, but I don't. I have never found it work that way.
Well, then we can do one or the other. Would you like to respond to the financial aspects, or would you find it more appropriate to talk about the beliefs, which is where we start, just because we want to know what does this group believe, what do they not believe? And it wasn't until after we started trying to get some information that we stumbled upon the other aspects.
Kathy, if we could have a clear definition of truth as being the absence of a lie, then you could probably put all of that stuff in just a simple thing, that there really isn't a shred of truth there. And if you want to find what the truth is, you'd almost have to reverse what's said. And what's happening even today is that truth is bigger than us. It's big, and it's real. And we need to know it, and the people need to know it. And that's what you're here for. And it can't be minimized, and it even can't be maximized, because it's truth, and this is just a source of that. And that's what we'd like to have go out, that you've been told lies by everywhere else, and here's a place where you won't find any lies, and you'll find documentation, and you'll find history, and you'll find science, and you'll find all the things that's been kept from us by people who want to control the world and make us worse than slaves.
And this comes from Hatan.
Well, this comes from within us, within me. Commander represents my heart and my mind. He's clear. He's not deluded. And he has a message for everybody. And it's of hope, and it's of future, and it's of joy.
Doris, do you think the commander would like to make a comment like that?
Certainly. I have to
pray
for guidance out of this world.
Certainly might clarify some things.
I
know what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
and I thank you for the opportunity.
And you know what I may do is at the end of my story, I can say, give a simple explanation, perhaps restate some of the things that Mr. Lentzel said about the actual